The Gospel lesson from Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Then he laid his hands on her. Immediately she stood up and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you, on the Sabbath, untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
When I was a pastor at Second Baptist in Lubbock, there was an old woman named Boots Moss. There's a West Texas name for you. Who was bent over almost 90 degrees by some ailment in the back of her near 90-year-old body. I remember how she would so struggle just to make it into the church. And every time I saw her slowly darken the doors, I would marvel at the persistence of her spirit and the tenacity of her faith. She would do anything she could just to be at Second B for Sunday morning service. And oh, how she so honored the church and honored God as she struggled in. I imagine Jesus would have said the same thing about this woman in today's story. A woman whom he saw making her way into the synagogue where he was teaching one Sabbath morning. As was said during the children's sermon, for 18 long years, the Bible says, she had been bent over like Boots Moss. And Saturday by Saturday, just like Boots on Sunday, here this woman would come shuffling and struggling in to honor the holiness of God and the holiness of the Sabbath and the holiness of the synagogue, the community. And seeing her come through those synagogue doors, Jesus called the woman over, laid his hands on her bent back, healed her body, and told her that she had finally been set free. She stood up, the scripture says, straight as an arrow. And she began praising God before everyone. In my mind's eye, I see her raising her hands and stomping her feet and shouting unto the Lord. I imagine her doing a little holiness dance right down there before the bema. Dancing was not a part of the order of service. But this woman didn't care. She had been healed. She had been set free. The one that they call the Son of Man had set her free. And when the Son sets you free, well, you are free indeed. But not everyone in the synagogue shared the excitement of seeing this woman set free on this Sabbath. Certainly, we are told the leader of the synagogue didn't like it. When he saw the woman stand up and start shouting, well, he started shouting too. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. He said, come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day. And some there, I am sure, thought that, well, that sounded pretty reasonable. Righteous even. Why could it not wait until tomorrow? Why today? This woman had been bent over for 18 years. What's one more night? Couldn't she come back again on Sunday? Shouldn't we keep the Sabbath spiritual? Can't we stick with the preaching and the teaching and the printed order of service? As I say, to many, that would have sounded, I imagine, pretty reasonable, righteous, and respectable even. But not to Jesus. To Jesus, it sounded like hypocrisy. It sounded like pretense. It sounded like privilege. And it sounded like obstruction. To Jesus, it sounded a lot like that sign sometimes I see outside of certain restaurants. Free lunch tomorrow. Jesus knew hypocrisy when he heard it. And he wasn't fooled by it. And he didn't want anybody in that synagogue that morning to be fooled by it either. He didn't want the crowd to be fooled. And he did not want this woman to be denied. She had waited for her freedom long enough. Whenever I read this story, I think of when the Obergefell case on same-sex marriage was argued before the Supreme Court. It was the same week that the Ethiopian eunuch appeared in the lectionary. The sexual minority in the book of Acts asks, what is to prevent him from receiving the sacrament of baptism? I decided that week to preach on the text and ask, what was to prevent the sexual minority from receiving the sacrament of marriage? On Wednesday night, after the service. A man in the church who never, ever came to worship, and who was not in the service and did not hear the sermon I preached, had nonetheless heard about it. Sometimes that happens. And he stopped me out in the grand hall at 2B, and he asked me this: why did you just not wait until the Supreme Court issued its ruling? I'm a law-abiding citizen. I believe in the rule of law. If and when the law changes, then I'll follow it. You should have waited until the law is changed too. You know what I heard when we were standing there together and he was saying this? I heard these words: there are 6 days on which someone is to be healed. Why not wait and come back again tomorrow? Friends, what do we say in Texas? God bless them. Bless his heart. Bless his heart, but I do not believe he was actually concerned about process. And I do not believe that he was upholding decorum or certain points of order. I believe, in fact, I know, he was against gay marriage. And he was feigning righteousness with his pearl-clutching, hypocritical sanctimony in order to fight it. Beloved, let us not be fooled by the hypocrisy that seems to always want to fight against others' freedom. We see it today in that woman, Kim Davis, who was in the courts trying to overturn Obergefell because she says she believes in the so-called sanctity of marriage, though she herself has been married 4 different times to 3 different men. She wants to save the sanctity of her 4th marriage by robbing some poor gay couple of their 1st. We see hypocrisy also in our state legislature, as a wave of Christian nationalism has tried to fight against our constitutionally guaranteed freedom of and from religion by mandating that the 10 Commandments be posted in every public school classroom in the state of Texas. This, while gutting state funding for free lunches and having the audacity to demand the debate about the posting of the commandment that says we must keep the Sabbath holy on the Sabbath day itself. The bill was debated on the Christian Sabbath and signed into law on the Jewish one. You can't make this stuff up. It's stunning how low the hypocrisy will go. Yet if we know our Bibles, we should not be surprised. Because there we read of another time in another synagogue when religious leaders were so offended by Jesus' healing on the Sabbath that they actually began to plot to kill him on one also. So Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To heal or to kill? Jesus came to heal people. He came to set people free. The Son of God came to set us free. And though it would cost him everything to do it, Jesus was steadfast in his commitment to raise us up and not keep us bowed down, but to raise us up to the full stature of our humanity. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, Jesus said. And this woman was made to stand up and walk and not be ridden. And after 18 long years, after 18 long years when nothing was done, well, it was about time that it happened today and not tomorrow. This week marks the 62nd anniversary of the March on Washington for freedom and jobs. It was a time in that sweltering summer of 1963 when many people were saying black people needed to wait before further demanding their full rights as citizens of this country. They had gone too far and too fast, many in America were saying. But in their speeches at the march, both Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and later Congressman John Lewis talked about the imperative of not waiting any longer. Dr. King talked about what he called the fierce urgency of now. And young Lewis said, we want our freedom and we want it now. We do not want our freedom gradually, he said, but we want to be free now. Don't be fooled by the hypocrisy. Many, many who say, not now, really mean, not ever. Justice delayed is justice denied, Dr. King used to say, but the time, he said, is always ripe. To do what is right. And the time for doing right is always right now. I'm so glad Jesus did not deny this bent over woman her day of liberation. I'm so glad he wasn't fooled by his critics' hypocrisy, and I'm so glad he believed in and stood up for her humanity. I'm glad she stood up for it too. I'm so glad they both decided she could and she should stand up tall and straight today and not tomorrow. Now and not never. For the Son of Man came to set people free, and when the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. And when the Son sets us free, we are free right now. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.